the seasons are a gift for us in that we get to live in a place where we see all four seasons, and we're starting to see spring come alive around us through nature, through the temperatures. We may say it's great. Some of us love it. Others of us have allergies and it's not so great. One of the things I love about March is basketball. I love the madness. I love March Madness. And last night, as we watched NC State play their fifth game in 5 days and beat the North Carolina Tar Heels for the ACC championship. We're not going to talk about Tennessee, by the way. I'm focusing on other things. But what you could say is it was a great game, and it was a great tournament for NC State. They weren't the greatest team, but they played the greatest they could. We toss around the word great a lot. It means above average. Rolling Stone magazine does a survey of the greatest songs. Think about it. What do you think is the greatest song? In 2004, it was Bob Dylan's Like a Rolling Stone. You may or may not agree. In 2021, according to Rolling Stone, it was Aretha Franklin's Respect. We can look up things that are the greatest. Who has been the greatest president in the history of the United States of America? You can Google it, and there are multiple options. I probably spent way too much time analyzing the results of several surveys, historians determining who is the greatest, and they had criteria. And in case you're wondering, Lincoln and Washington, in the three surveys, they flipped in one and two. And then FDR and Lincoln flipped in one and two. Washington flipped in two and three. So the top three was like Lincoln, FDR, and Washington in some form. And then Teddy Roosevelt was fourth across the board. The greatest. What does it mean to be great? What does it mean to be the greatest? We live in a world of many greats. We talk about it. We rank them. What's the greatest meal you've ever had? Yet in a world of many greats, we are challenged to be servants. That's what Jesus talks about. His measurement of great is very different than a survey that we're going to have online or our personal opinion. Luke talks about this. Our series, Friends in Low Places, Jesus According to Luke, we've been looking at how Jesus sees things from this position that is different than what our society and our culture looks like and lives like. Today, we're going to look at how Jesus redefines great, what it means to be great. Our first story is a story that may be familiar to you. It's a wee little man named Zacchaeus. Very good. It's kind of interesting. Y'all may already know this, but Zacchaeus, the story of Zacchaeus is only found in the Gospel of Luke. Zacchaeus is a wee little man. He is short in stature, but he's a tax collector. And in the culture in which Luke is writing in that Jesus lived, being a tax collector wasn't that great. Well, it was great in certain ways. You were wealthy. How you had gotten that was you had probably cheated. Zacchaeus would have been born Jewish, but he would have been seen as a traitor by those in his community because he was working for the Roman government, and he was taking more than his share. Let us listen to the story of Zacchaeus meeting Jesus. It's found in Luke 19, starting in verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to Zacchaeus, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner?" But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save." It's a story that may be familiar to us. Zacchaeus wants to see Jesus. In order to see Jesus, he has to climb a tree. A tree, the sycamore fig tree would have been a pretty stout tree, 30 to 40 feet high. It would have held him. He couldn't have seen him otherwise, so he went ahead to see. He ran ahead to see Jesus. You see, greatness is found in seeking the one who saves. Greatness is found in seeking the one who saves. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see him. When's the last time you ran ahead and climbed the tree to see Jesus? There's this concept I've heard of called the gift of desperation. It may seem counterintuitive that it's a gift to be desperate, but I think we see this in Zacchaeus. His gift of desperation is that he is willing to run ahead and climb the tree. He wants to see Jesus. Have you ever had the gift of desperation? Have you ever had that gift of realizing that you desperately need a Savior? That we ourselves cannot save ourselves, that we need a Savior. It can be hard, because in a lot of ways, we are well equipped to take care of ourselves, to provide for ourselves. My own experiencing and watching of others, the gift of desperation often comes when we realize we can't think our way, talk our way, pay our way, network our way out of our circumstances. And we need Jesus. It's the gift of desperation, the gift of running ahead, the gift of climbing the tree, the gift of seeing our Savior. When is the last time you ran ahead, you climbed the tree, and you were desperate for Jesus? Greatness is found in seeking the one that saves. Now, the story of Zacchaeus is an interesting thing, maybe not that unpredictable. But the crowd, it says the crowd muttered when Jesus said, I'm going to go have dinner at your house today. And the crowd muttered because that wasn't the way it was supposed to be. Zacchaeus was a sinner. Think about the person in our culture, our society, or our own lives that we don't think deserves something. Think about it. Because we all know those people. Who is it that we don't think deserves something? And then think of Zacchaeus. They muttered. They were offended. You see, the power of mercy confuses and releases at the same time. It wasn't how society is made. He hadn't earned his way. He hadn't checked all the boxes like the crowd had. He had been cheating on money. He had been a traitor in their eyes, but he's the one that ran ahead and caught the tree. They were confused by this. Mercy is an interesting thing. When I was studying for the Good Samaritan sermon in January, I read this thing that I hadn't heard before, because when I think of mercy, I think that mercy means I don't get what I deserve. Mercy means we don't get the punishment we deserve. And yet, one of the things that I read talked about how mercy means that I also use my power in a way that builds up, not tears down. There is power in mercy. Each of us have the power of mercy, how we treat those around us. You see, being great is using that power of mercy in a way that releases. What we see happen to Zacchaeus is that he has this conversation, he spends this time with Jesus, and his response is, I'm going to give to the poor, and I'm going to pay four times those I've cheated. That would have been what was said in Jewish law. We see Zacchaeus engage in the act of repentance, of turning from his ways. And in that is a release. You see, the power of mercy, it both confuses us when we think it's not doled out right, correctly, fairly, and it also releases. Have you ever been given the power of mercy? If you've ever been desperate for Jesus, it is likely that you have experienced the power of mercy. We see greatness in the eyes of Jesus comes in a way of seeking him and in the power of mercy. But greatness can also be found in another place in the book of Luke. We see it comes at the end of the Last Supper. Jesus has broken the bread and said, this is my body given, and the blood, the wine, that this is my blood, and I am the new covenant. The disciples have been with him for 3-ish years. They have spent time watching him heal. They have seen him teach. They have gotten to ask questions. Yet after the Last Supper, Jesus in Luke predicts that he's going to be betrayed. And so what do any group of humans do in such a circumstance? They begin to ask each other, who is it going to be? Is it you? Can't you just see this playing out? And then the next question, though, that comes is they start talking about who's going to be the greatest. I want to look, we talked about this in our inductive Bible study of Luke, where we look at this and we go, are you kidding me? You all have been with him. Why are y'all talking about being great? But they do. Luke 9, this isn't the first time they talk about being great. It's in Luke 9 as well. They want to know who's the greatest. And you see, being the greatest is interesting. It is interesting. Let's see what Luke says as we read about the story when they talk about being the greatest. As a dispute also arose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest, Jesus said to them, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as the one who serves. The good news of Jesus Christ continues to contradict. It contradicts our societal norms just like it did back then. The greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? When we look at this within context, a servant wasn't just someone who was signing up to do good things or serve others. What a servant was, they were in a lesser position than those who were sitting at the table. It's just like in our society, how we measure greatness comes oftentimes by our achievement, by dollar signs, by status. And yet Jesus speaks into our lives, into our culture, and it contradicts as well. Greatness isn't about what we can add up on a sheet of paper or put on a resume. Greatness comes in the form of being humble in the position of servant. You see, the position of servant is the position of greatness. We see in the Gospel of John, he tells the story about the foot washing that takes place. It is when Jesus is with his disciples at the Last Supper and he washes their feet. This was mind-blowing. Peter's like, don't do that. I should be doing that. What are you doing? You shouldn't be doing that. And what Jesus says, very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. See, the position of greatness is servant. It isn't just about the act of serving. It is about the position of less than. Not that I'm not worth anything, but that I lower myself to the position of servant. The position of greatness is servant. It's not what a survey can tell us. It's not how we describe ourselves or others. It is the position of servant. I got to be a part of recovery ministry at the previous church I got to serve. We started the ministry. It was on a Tuesday night. And after a couple of years, we decided to move it to Thursday nights. We did it after Easter one year, and we had this conversation. Oh no, what are we going to do? Monday, Thursday falls on Thursday. And what are we going to do next year? Are we going to have two services, a Monday, Thursday service and a recovery service? Or are we going to combine those? And we went, ooh, let's wait and talk about that when it gets closer. And so when it got closer, we got into these conversations about what do we do? Because people who were used to the traditional Monday, Thursday service may not want to go to a Monday, Thursday service in the worship center. And the recovery congregation maybe didn't want to participate in a Monday, Thursday service, may not know what that is. What do we do? And we dipped our toe and we combined them. And we weren't sure how this was going to go. We had Monday, Thursday service for everyone. And it was part of our recovery service on that Thursday night. And the first year we did it, we were like, how's this going to go? And it was beautiful. Those who had never been to a Monday, Thursday service before said, wow. And those who had never been to a recovery service before were like, wow, we had no idea. And it was this beautiful tradition that we started of combining for Monday, Thursday. A couple of years after we had combined the services, we had a hand washing because for some reason people don't like their feet washed. Some of y'all who laughed are those people, I understand. So we did what we called a hand washing. And we set a table up in the front, and there was two bowls of water. And you got in the line like you do for communion, and so the person in front of you would wash your hand. And what we meant by that is just take the water, put it over your hand. It was a powerful, powerful living example of greatness. As I witnessed this gentleman who was an incredible mentor of mine at that church, as he taught me so much about leadership through spiritual formation, as well as his living out of the gift of giving. He taught me so much. And there he was, washing the hand of a gentleman who has been in and out of addiction for years, lost custody of his kids, got them back, in and out of homelessness. And there we see the image of greatness in the picture of the washing. That it was a picture not of status, of what we have. It is a picture of seeking the one who saves, the power of mercy, the contradiction of cultural norms, and the position of servant. Being great is about the position of being a servant. How are we doing? How are we at seeking the one that saves? How desperate are we for Jesus? How are we in our power of mercy? How are we as we look at the contradictions of the kingdom of God and the world in which we live? How are we in the position of servant? Let us pray. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, we just come to you where we are. May we be desperate for you. Maybe this is like the multiple times have we lived out the season of Lent. Multiple times, Lord, we have had Holy Week. Multiple times we have had Palm Sunday. Multiple times we have had Easter Sunday. But this year, Lord, just pour your Holy Spirit out on us. May we live out the days to come in a way where we run ahead and we climb the tree and we are desperate for you. May we do so from the position of servant. Make it clear to us, each and every one of us. Give us that nudge, Lord. What is it that is our next step in being a servant? Lord, into your hands, may your will, not our will, be done. Amen.